Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Bruce, we do it for Marvin Windows and Doors and Truitt and White, the professional builder's choice. How are you this morning?
Hey, Bruce.
Doing well. How are you guys?
Very good. It's a busy day out here at the park, and it's Sunday baseball, and I always like to sit back and just reflect a little bit. Bruce, we're heading into the halfway point of the season. Should be after the Thursday night game against the A's over there. It'll be five more games from today. This team is in pretty good shape sitting here at the halfway point. Things could get very interesting with the number of wins they could have.
Well, yeah. I mean, leading up to the All-Star break, the schedule is very favorable. I mean, you really need to win that series today against the Phillies and finish that off. The A's are down. Arizona's down. Then they finish out with a homestand against Colorado and Arizona. So it's all looking very good into the All-Star break, and then you open in San Diego after that before you go to the Red Sox and the Yanks, and things get very difficult after that. But yeah, I mean, you know, considering all the setbacks they've had, and every team has them, but, you know, just with Pence and the troubles with Kane and Peavy and little injuries here and there, Duffy, you know, it's a lot of, they've taken a lot of hits, but it sure doesn't show on the standings.
No, it doesn't. Now, the All-Star voting is taking place here at the ballpark. It's been done by the fans for 3 months already.
Right.
But the players are doing it this weekend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's interesting talking to some of the players about how the All-Star players should be picked. They don't necessarily like the fans picking the All-Star team, the players. I think the players would rather have a bigger voice in it.
Yeah, I can see their point. I mean, sometimes the vote results get a little crazy. You know, a certain town is going nuts on the voting. I mean, for me, you should only be able to vote once. That's it. You vote once. You don't vote 600 times. You don't get a billion votes from China or whatever. You know, and that's hard to monitor. But I kind of like the old punch the ballot at the ballpark, and you're gonna wind up maybe voting more than once there. But I've kind of stopped stressing about that. I used to get really obsessive about who's on the All-Star team, and wait a minute, the backup third base is wrong. And I've kind of let go of that and just watch the game as it unfolds. Usually, most of the guys you want to be there will be playing.
Well, it's funny, Bruce, is that every year we talk about the All-Star game and how the fans go crazy. And I have to admit, even Lee Hammer, he kind of promotes to have the listeners and the Giants fans just hammer the digital ballot box and all that to get guys in. Who was it? Was it Freddie Sanchez that almost got voted in despite having not played at all?
I think he was retired.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little bit strange. Here's another thing about the All-Star game I wanted to address with you two guys is that the affirmative action of the All-Star game, and your colleague, Bruce, Susan Slusser, she wrote a column this morning, or I saw her talking about Ryan Dull, maybe the Athletics' best chance for being in the All-Star game. Does anybody want to see Ryan Dull in the All-Star game?
Yeah, the best chance for the A's is a guy named Dull. Good grief. I think they've got Johnny Tedious has a chance to get in, too.
All right.
Hold on, Marty. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Should we do away with that whole philosophy that every team needs to be repped, even if they're not deserving?
No, absolutely. That's a terrible rule. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, when people are living and dying, so they might get, you know, the 240 hitter to pinch hit in the top of the ninth. I mean, it's just not worth it. You're basically shutting out deserving guys.
Yep.
For somebody who shouldn't be there. I mean, Dull? For heaven, no. It's just no Dull. No A's this year.
Okay. I like it. I like the fact if you're in a major league city and it's a game you want to watch and you want to see your guy.
Do A's fans even want to see Ryan Dull? They don't watch him in Oakland. You think they're going
no.
to watch him in Petco?
Well, he may not be a great example, but...
There are better examples. You're right. We're a guy who may not be qualified, but he is a dynamic player and the best player on your team. But I think in this case, it backs the idea that it's a little bit overboard.
Okay. All right. So the players, in talking with them, said, all right, why don't we do this? Why don't the fans vote the way they vote? And those players are on the All-Star team. And then we vote players on the All-Star team as well. And then the managers and the coaches decide who starts.
I like that.
And you go from there.
Yeah, that would be nice. It would be better than the way it is now. I mean, I just when you vote for president, you don't vote 600 times, okay? You just vote once. So that's the first thing that has to happen.
All right, very good. All right, I like it. We promised that we'd look at the American League, Bruce, if we could just briefly. The Cleveland Indians are a story that is happening. in the American League. Everyone's focused on the Red Sox and maybe the Rangers and some other teams. Cleveland is quietly putting together a tremendous pitching staff. The month of June, they've won 8 in a row. Their rotation's got an earned run average of like 1.78. Batting average against a 158. They're 17-6 in June. And Cleveland all of a sudden has a Salazar. They've got Carrasco. They've got Kluber. They've got Josh Tomlin, who has 7 walks and 53 strikeouts. And then this Trevor Bauer. So, Bruce, Cleveland Indians, are we dreaming, or is this actually a team that can make some noise here?
Every night I watch the highlights on Quick Pitch. You know, they look like a team that's playing the game well. They're having a lot of fun. The fans are into it. You know, you got Carlos Santana, if you need like a musical interlude. Yeah, you got Napoli, and Juan Uribe somehow is still just raking, the ex-Giant. Francisco Lindor is one of the best players in the bigs, bar none, just flat out offense, defense, power. He's sensational. But the pitching, you know, is what's going to carry him, and it doesn't look like any incident. You know, I mean, you know, Kluber is proven. These young guys are coming on, and Trevor Bauer, who's taking a lot of heat, you know, he was kind of a real outside-the-box, eccentric kind of guy, with the way that he warmed up and everything, and people thought he was crazy, but he's getting it together. And, you know, Francona's the manager, so what, do they got a 5-game lead now?
Yeah, well, actually,
they've won 8 in a row, I can tell you that much.
Well, let's see where they are. Cleveland is up by...
they're up 5 over the Kansas City Royals, yeah.
Yeah, I've spent several days in Cleveland this year and last year because of the Warriors, and I've spent a lot of time there in the 80s covering the A's and how bleak it was, and I just think it would be great if the Indians got in the playoffs. I'm not sure they're the best team in the American League, but, you know, the town's all jazzed over the Cavaliers, and now it's going right through the summer, so good for them.
Well, if they can pitch, they can win. And the other thing I say, Bruce, and you and I have gone through this for years, you got to win in your division.
Yeah.
And Baltimore, 21-13 in the East. They got the best record there in first place. Cleveland, 23-10 in the Central. Best record. Texas, 26-13. Way best record. American League West.
Mm-hmm.
Washington, let's see, in the East. Washington, well ahead of everybody, 24-13 in the East. The Cubs, killing the Central, 21-9. And when you go to the West right here, the Giants, 24-13. So every leader is the best within their division, and that's what you got to do to win.
Absolutely. I mean, because the results in the standings are so direct. You know, you beat a team, and then you drive them a game back. You sweep a series, you put them well back, and it's just that direct hit kind of thing. And, you know, the Giants have been playing the Dodgers well for years. They haven't always won the division, but, you know, those are the games that really matter, because they're going to come back at you. It's not like you see the team just once. You're going to get them two or three more times. So yeah, those are the ones you got to win. That is interesting, though, that all the teams, that's not always the case. I mean, you might have a team that's struggling in its division yet somehow leading, but certainly not this year.
Hey, Bruce Jenkins with us, Marty Pat here at the Public House Patio, AT&T Park. Hey, just a couple of goofy moments last night around baseball. Jose Altuve, we all know he's a good player, but I think we just don't watch a lot of Astros baseball, maybe. But he's going for the triple, or he's going for a triple that would give him the cycle. And he's running around second base, cruising to third, and his helmet falls off his head and clips his heel, and he's smiling before he hits the dirt. Jose Altuve, he's one of the more entertaining guys in baseball, Bruce.
Put me down for this. I think Houston's going to win that division. They're well back.
Okay,
and
really.
Texas looks great. But, I mean, Altuve, Correa, Springer.
Springer, yeah.
You know, they've got some tremendous young talent on that team. If they get their pitching together, there's a team that can win like 17 out of 20. And they really have a lot of fun. You look at the dugout, the way they celebrate each other's stuff, you know, big smiles. Those three guys in particular are really, really dynamic. I like what Texas is doing, but I think Houston's going to catch them.
All right, very good. Well, you know, we'll do a show on this maybe next week. The teams in the second wild card.
Okay.
Because you forget, you know, because we're so focused on the Giants winning the division, the Cubs, and all this the great stuff. There are going to be 5 teams in this thing. And a wild card team can win the thing because everybody's got pitching. So maybe, Bruce, we'll look at the second wild cards next week, because you'll be amazed at how many teams are still in it.
And that's going to be where it's at. I mean, because, you know, the divisions are probably going to be wrapped up, and the wild card races are going to be sensational. And, you know, thank goodness that format exists.
Well, I'll tell you this. The Dodgers, the Cardinals, the Mets and the Marlins. You know, the Marlins are only, you know, a game or two out of the second wild card right now. And even Pittsburgh can throw, they've thrown another young kid tonight against Kershaw. They're going to get back into it. So it, this summer, Bruce, we're focused on the Giants and winning the West, but there's a lot more baseball that's going to be very interesting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, all those teams you mentioned. I mean, you, even Miami, you know, with Stanton, they got Barry Bonds in there, Ichiro, and Jose Fernandez. Yelich is a hell of a hitter. That's a fun team to watch. I'd love for them to be in that mix. And yeah, it's just all up and down the line. Pittsburgh's been down, but they've beaten the Dodgers a couple times. McCutcheon's coming on. You know, it's a good. It's a, still a very good team. And, of course, the Cardinals are always a huge threat. So it's not like, you know, those teams shouldn't be in the mix because they're all very good and very watchable.
You see, the Cardinals took Rosenthal out as closer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the closer thing, I think they need a team psychiatrist for the for the closer. You know that? I think there should be a 27th person on the roster, a psychiatrist.
Yeah, that, definitely.
They all can throw. Yeah. They all can throw great, but something happens to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you miss a guy. I think my all-time favorite was Eckersley.
Yeah,
because he was always the same. It was always the same result. He walked like, you know, one guy all year. I think one year he only walked four guys in the season. And you knew exactly what you were getting. He wasn't like walking the bases loaded or God knows he's 3-1 on every hitter. He says, boom, boom, out of here. And he wasn't doing it with like Gossage, you know, flame throwing. He was a brilliantly smart guy. And that's a little on the nostalgic side. Chapman is kind of like that now. He's the flip side because he throws 103 miles an hour or some such thing. But we're living and dying with Casilla right now. And like you say, it's very flighty. And you're lucky to get a guy who is reasonably consistent in that job.
Yeah, I know that. Even Casilla had his moment this year, Bruce, when he got into it with Bruce Bochy coming off the bump. But Papelbon, K-Rod, there's some lunatics out there.
Yes.
Hey, Bruce, before we plug your book signing today, and I know a lot of people will be excited to check you out on that, Jose Reyes joining his old pals with the Mets. I know that there's some people that are upset about his domestic violence thing. What do you think, Bruce?
Well, I mean, it wasn't like he went in the slammer, you know. I mean, it's a disturbing thing. It's a decision you have to make whether you want any association with domestic violence. You're probably in the clear if you just stay away from it just flat out.
Yeah.
That's really going to come into play with Aroldis Chapman, by the way, because he's a guy who can win you a division or gets you in the playoffs. But, you know, Reyes at one time was a really exciting player. He had his best days with the Mets. They're a little bit desperate right now. Terry Collins is really on edge. And you know, a lot of it depends on how the fans react to it. And like always, if he comes in and hits 300 and steals bases and is totally disruptive and plays a good shortstop, it's not going to be an issue. If he comes out and struggles, they're like, what the hell are they thinking? Not only is he not playing, he had this domestic violence thing. So it's a tough line you walk there.
Yeah, we love a winner here in America. Hey, Bruce, at 2 o'clock today, you're going to be up in Marin County. Tell us about it.
I am. I'm going to be at Copperfield's bookstore on 4th Street in San Rafael, signing and talking about my book, Shop Around, which is anybody who likes Motown, Stax, Otis Redding, Smokey Robinson, Marvin Gaye, Sam and Dave, that whole thing. I write about how that changed my life when I was a kid, growing up in a house full of professional musicians and Sinatra and Tony Bennett and that sort of thing. It's totally driven by Steve Kettman, who runs Wellstone Publishing, and I'm really glad that he kept pushing me on it because all of a sudden the book came out. I had a ton of fun doing it, and hopefully sell a copy or two.
Well, we'd love it, and look forward to seeing you at the park, and always enjoy talking ball with you on the weekend. It makes the weekend very special, Bruce, so thank you.
Thanks, Bruce.
You bet. I'll see you tomorrow. I'll be out there.
Oh, perfect. Okay. A's Giants tomorrow. Thanks, Bruce. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, guys. Thanks
all right.
A million.